Hello and welcome back to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity, self-love, growing through your breakup, and marrying yourself. Yes, you are the greatest love of your lifetime. My name is Danette Relic, and I am a coach. I am an author. I am an artist. I am really pronouncing the T's in that word today. I'm a longtime fan of Halloween, leaning much more towards Nightmare on Before Christmas and away from Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the kind of Halloween gal I am. I contain multitudes, as do you. And I invite you to learn about and love every facet of who you are, because it's fascinating. I'm leaving it in. Okay. Anyways, sincerely, welcome back. This podcast is brought to you by the magical assistance of Allison Tarr. The music that you heard is Lee Rosevere. And The Soft Shoulder is brought to you by my new book, Crash Bloom, A Creative Guide for Growing Through Your Breakup. I wanted to talk to you today about, you know, like vitamins, time release vitamins, or some supplements, perhaps. This is already a bad example. I'm like, don't talk about supplements on a podcast. Okay. Time release, right? Things that you don't get the full dose immediately. It's like over time of repeatedly taking this vitamin, you get the nourishment that it's meant to give. And I think that sometimes when we go through a heartbreak, when we go through any experience, really, there's just some kind of time release that can happen with our insights, right? I think sometimes, like, we're in such a beautiful time of where people value self-awareness, where this is a common conversation. These new, like, generations of people really, like, so open about therapy, about self-discovery, about self-help and improvement, and then even, like, when that can get a little too much. It's so beautiful. But because I think of the pace at which we receive content and all of the information that we can be overwhelmed with, I think sometimes we might feel that we should know, we should have caught this, we should have known this by now. If we read it once, we should know it. And we think if we should know it, that means our actions should be on board immediately. Well, I knew this about myself. Why did I do this thing again, right? And so today's talk is really about, like, I just want to normalize that sometimes there's a pacing and sometimes there's a time release on the insights that we have from our own experience. Even when we are paying close attention, yes, even when you're journaling every morning, there are some things that just take time to bubble up to your consciousness. I don't know what's coming up for you now as you think about this. Did you ever have a moment where you had that aha? You're, I don't know, in a therapy session or out on a retreat somewhere, or having like a night of cocktails with your close friends and you're talking about your exes, and then you have this moment where you're like, oh my God, I see it now. I can't believe it took me this long to see it. You know, and we can be grateful for these moments, but sometimes it's even built into the language that we should have known sooner, right? It took me this long. Why didn't I see this before? Those are, you know, judging phrases, right? That they imply that we should instantly be able to access the lessons. So I was flipping through my copy of Crash Bloom, and there's a chapter called Harvesting the Heartbreak. And it's precisely, you know, about that, is to like look for the gifts, look for the insights that are the lessons that are coming from this particular breakup. And even though I spent so much time writing this book, sometimes when I flip back through it, I'm like, oh, that's really nice. That was great, Pastinette. That's a great phrase. But there was a sentence that really popped out to me this morning. And this is what it is. It's on, if you have a book, it's on page 129, right at the top. All you need to do is pay soft attention to the ongoing arrival of new insight. And I really loved, you know, the phrasing soft attention, right? So this is like, sometimes we can get really vigilant with our self-help. I know I'm not alone in this. And, you know, we can get like really hyper-focused on trying to figure ourselves out, like we are a problem to solve. So soft attention is like, you know, when you soften your gaze, when you allow yourself to see the periphery, when you're not pulling something into hyper-focus, but you're just allowing your eyeballs to relax in their sockets, you're allowing your vision, your field of vision to expand, all of your other senses to also kick in as well. And the phrase ongoing arrival implies that like the lesson isn't just sitting there on a platter. Sometimes it trickles in. Sometimes it takes time to ripen, as you know, the metaphor of this chapter is like, you know, that this is fruit, right? This is like these lessons sort of come. Some are like ripe with clarity, and sometimes it takes time to ripen, right? Time to like for us to be able to take it in. And so what would change if this was true? And what would change in terms of like how you talk to yourself when you're going through anything, but especially when you're going through a difficult time, a loss, a breakup, some kind of transition, right? What if you could drop the story that you should have known something already, and you could just be curious about what is ripe now, right? Like, under the exercise, throughout Crash Bloom, there are exercises under a little pencil, and it says, write your heart out. Not for every chapter, just where it felt appropriate. And in this chapter, it says, allow yourself to be surprised by the wisdom already ripe within you. So it's not saying, get all the answers down. You should have all the answers. It's like, what's ready, right? Have you ever been apple picking, strawberry picking, any kind of fruit picking? And you know, you don't take every single thing off of the bush or off of the tree. You're scanning to see what's ready. And some of them might need a few more days or a few more weeks or a whole other season, right? And you're just going and you're just taking the things that are ready. So I think this is a very kind way to pace yourself with self-awareness. And because this is ongoing, if you imagine it like, you know, a tree where it's producing fruit and it's always going through these cycles, there will be more coming, right? Like imagine you picked apples and then a few weeks later, there's more apples that are ready. You don't go like, well, finally, like these apples should have been ready weeks ago. Like, no, it's the nature of the tree. And we all understand that. It would be absurd to be angry or to judge the tree or think it's dysfunctional in some way. I really think that, you know, the more that we can remember how we are a part of nature and how we have cycles and how closely related we are to all living things, we might offer ourselves a little more patience with these kinds of arrivals, right? Like you can't rush certain things. I plan to do a whole other episode about time. I've been thinking a lot about it in my own grieving process and thinking about it too in terms of, you know, having conversations with clients about there's work that we can do, yes. And then there's just time. Time is an ingredient that like you can't skip the ingredient of time. You can try and you will taste it. You'll taste the absence of time. Anyway, that's for a whole other episode. But I just heard from a reader of Crash Bloom that says, you know, she was returning to the book while taking some time for herself. And this is a person who has broken up with the same person more than once and was looking back in the book and said, I could see some things when I looked back at the book. I can see why I wasn't ready that first time. And you know, I just really loved it. I love that she was saying that with such kindness. So that was like a new fruit, right? Something new that was available, that was ripe for her consciousness. It's like, oh, I'm seeing something here I didn't see before. No wonder I wasn't quite ready. Because we can really just be so hard on ourselves and expect perfection. And perfection is often, you know, we imagine it to be instant, you know, that we know already that we'd get it right the first time. But my experience has been that sometimes we need several aha moments, right? You know, I mentioned that, you know, an aha moment you might have had where you're like, oh, the lesson kind of comes, right? And you're just like, oh, I get it now. It's all sparking. And even that whole aha moment, you know, we can have the same, we can give it the same perfectionist treatment that we're giving to ourselves, right? So, because it's an aha, once we claim this is an aha moment, that's supposed to be this epiphany. Now I've got it. I can't pretend I don't know it. But I'm going to introduce, as I do, there's like facets upon facets, and, you know, and that's how I'm wired. So what if even epiphanies needed a little bit of time to land? What if you have an aha moment and you need to have it again and again, the same one? This is what I call a deja ha moment. See what I did there, right? It's like, oh, I've had this aha moment before. Deja vu. I've had this aha moment. Deja ha. Sometimes we need to have these things happen more than once. Sometimes it's like, maybe it's like the bloom on the tree or whatever, you know, like, okay, I'll drop the tree metaphor and just talk about your life. You know, that moment where you realize a relationship isn't for you and you have that moment where you're like, ah, I get it. You know, I had this, you know, I went away, I had lunch with a friend and I, you know, I was talking and I just couldn't, I know, like I was, the way I was talking, I know this isn't right for me. This isn't right for me. Okay. And then you try to break up and then, you know, it doesn't work, or you go back and then you have the same aha moment and you're like, God, I was right the first time, right? This can happen again and again. And what I really want to say is this actually might be very purposeful. This might be helpful. I don't want you to beat yourself up for not listening the first time, for not acting the first time, right? Because that's really what we're beating ourselves up about, right? It's like, oh, I should have left before. I should have done this sooner. Sure. Those shoulding, you know, you've heard that expression, don't should all over yourself. They're not really helpful. They might really highlight a tenderness, like a pang of regret, which just informs where our heart's desire is. Let your focus, if you can, remember that when you're feeling that way, this is like you're listening to your heart's calling here, right? I think sometimes we need to have these aha moments a few times before they take, so that we can, especially if it's something like breaking up with someone, because it's not just one little thing. When you change something as significant as a romantically entangled relationship, likely there are many things that you are also severing at that moment. There are lots of things that are going to have to shift and adapt and accommodate for this change in your life. There will be a change in rhythm, a change in your attention. There will be grief. There will be conversations. There's community, family, all kinds of things that may be intertwined to like very, very complicated and tight bonds to, actually, that was easier than I thought. And wow, isn't that amazing that I can break up with this person I've been dating for 7 years and almost nothing changed, right? But it could be anywhere on that spectrum. So don't be so hard on yourself. If you need a few rounds of this, if you need, and when they come back, instead of saying, oh, I knew this already, why didn't I, you know, and beating yourself up, be like, oh, I just had a deja ha moment. We're always delighted by those, right? It's like, oh, there's some kind of like little magical moment. There's some kind of significance. It just, I don't know what they actually are. I find those moments fascinating. Like a deja vu experience, that's like wild. I love it. The deja ha moments, treat them with the same kind of curiosity, like it's coming back around. Oh, it's bringing my attention to something bigger here. this has happened before. And now instead of it being like it's a failure if it's happened more than once, be like, oh, there it is again. It's demonstrating some consistency. This aha moment is knocking down my door, right? This wants my attention. It's doing you a favor. It's giving you time perhaps to prepare again and prepare differently. What was it that brought you back? What was it that prevented you from taking action on whatever your deja ha moment was? You know, what was the resistance in you? Because if it's coming back around, it's like, oh, let's try that again. You know that game, I'm sure there are lots of versions of it, and I can't remember. Is it called Mastermind? But it was like, as when I was a kid, there was like, you know, this like pegboard. Basically, you had to put these little pegs in order, different colors, and the other person had to guess by lining it up and seeing if they could match. And you would tell them which ones were correct and which ones weren't. They had so many tries to see if they could get it, right? Sometimes relationships feel like that. Sometimes personal growth feels like that. You're like, okay, I got two right, but the other three weren't quite there. You know, I built up my self-trust. I had the aha moment. I knew this was going to end, but what pegs were missing? Like, oh, I didn't set up a support system to catch me when I made this move, or I didn't make space for this. I didn't make space for grief. I didn't, you know, whatever the actions are that would make this easier and support you in making the transition. But then you have that information. And the next time you could do it, be like, this time I'm going to make sure I just, you know, don't have anything at their house right now. Or this time I'm going to wait until, you know, there's some space between family functions. So, you know, that's why I think a lot of breakups happen over the, from what I've heard, after the holidays, where you like, you know, you don't have to worry about all the stress and drama of having a breakup over the holidays through the winter, like December or New Year's. And, you know, you're still a good 6 weeks out from Valentine's Day. Or funny enough, just after Valentine's Day, because there's not a whole lot on the calendar where you're going to do some obligational family stuff, right? So these are the times where people kind of wait a little bit and so that they have that space and time, I think. I don't know how consciously or strategically anyone's doing that, but it makes sense. Makes sense why it's harder to break up with someone on December 16th than it is on June 5th, right? I know that you have a great amount of wisdom inside you. I know that your heart is filled with desires that only you can hear. I know that there's some part of you, this wise and loving part of you, that wants what's best for you. And sometimes it just takes a little while for us to be able to receive this wisdom. All you need to do is pay soft attention to the ongoing arrival of new insight. That's all that you need to do. It will come. Trust that it will come as you are ready to receive it. Trust that time is an important ingredient here. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're postponing, that you're a little bit afraid of, something that you know that you need to do, but you're just not quite sure of the timing yet, that's fine. Trust the timing. Trust yourself. Be curious about the ongoing arrival of new insight, right? Soft attention. One of the things I learned when I was doing therapy and recovering from my brain injury, I worked a lot with a neuro-optometrist. And one of the things that I was practicing a lot was softening my focus. So when you're in a fight, flight, panic, danger situation, your eyes will narrow the focus, right? They will get like tunnel vision. And the reason why that happens is also, I don't think this needs to be said, but I'm not a doctor, okay? Just my initials, that's it. That's where it ends. So it makes sense. If you have, you know, a bear coming at you, some kind of danger, your eyes are going to want to be darting around to find the path of escape. So they need that tunnel vision, like where's the door? Where's the path? Where's a safe place to be? Sometimes when we go through something traumatic, we can kind of get locked there a little bit, right? In that response, even long after the bear is gone, long after we're safe. And so sometimes you have to guide the body into the safe, relaxed position to remind it that it is in fact safe. And one of the ways that I was doing this was to soften the focus. Try it right now. If you're sitting there, like, you know, like look very specifically and crisply at something in front of you, right? Like you're studying it where you don't see anything else around it. You're just zoomed in. Okay. And now just soften the focus and zoom out. Just relax your eyes. You don't have to read anything. You don't have to see any detail on anything at all. And now just start to notice how big of a picture you can see. Without moving your eyeballs around, can you see further off to the right than you did before? Maybe a color, you can see like a foggy piece of furniture or something that's just slightly out of frame that you didn't notice when you were staring so intently, right? This is like a relaxed position because you can afford to soften your focus and take in the beautiful forest. Like, wow, look at these waterfalls. Look at this flower that's over here. There's so much here. It's so beautiful. You can see the big picture, the big, beautiful picture, because you can relax because you're safe. And then as soon as the bear comes, you're like, uh-oh, where am I going? And then you zoom right in, right? So this is what I mean when I say a soft attention. It's also that soft focus. It's like find that safe place within yourself. Don't try too hard to pin something down. Don't do that to yourself. Trust that it's coming, right? And that doesn't mean ignore everything entirely all the time and ignoring yourself, right? That's why, you know, maybe you have a journaling practice or you talk to a friend every day or there's some kind of check-in you do with an app or whatever. Be there, like check on your apple tree, see what's ripening, see what's coming up. There's always something. If you can go on Netflix and check out what's coming, what's coming this week, what's coming next week, what's coming in 3 months, do that with yourself. In fact, the next time you do that, if you do that, let that be a cue to be like, oh, Danette said I should do this to myself also, right? What are you aware of today that you weren't before? What are you more sure of now than you were in the last 3 months? Right? What do you take for granted that you are confident about now that you were not a year ago? Look for evidence that things ripen. You have deja ha moments, and then suddenly it's just something that's been integrated into your life. If there's anything that I think is like the number one, I mean, I don't like to rank anything, anything at all. But one of the major ways that we block ourselves from our own love is just by judging it, by not letting it in, by making it conditional, right? What if we swept all that out? What if you were worthy right now in all of your multitudes, in all of your facets to just be lovable? What if you deserved all the love in the world, all the acceptance in the world for not knowing? And for not knowing for a while, and to just let that be true and let yourself live your life listening, trusting that day will come if it needs to come, when it's time, when that insight is ripe, you will be ready to receive it. Sweet listener, thank you so much for tuning in and spending time here at The Soft Shoulder. If you are getting anything from these podcasts, if there's something that's just made you feel a little bit better, I would appreciate a review or you sharing it with a friend or anything like that to just spread the love. And also, you don't have to do anything at all. Just go on with your day. You are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. I'm really happy to be back. Take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.